This is Audible.
The Natural: How to Effortlessly Attract the Women You Want, by Richard LaRuina, read by Steve West. The Invitation. London, England. Friday night, 2:15 a.m. Hundreds of Europe's most beautiful women crowd the dimly lit nightclub, each dressed more provocatively than the next, each looking to let loose. Ava, a 5'10" Estonian fashion model I met just minutes earlier, lays her head on my shoulder.
"It feels like I've known you my whole life," she confides.
I smile and give her a reassuring hug. We've now reached what I call the point of no return. She's mine, and I know it. Just a few short years ago, I'd never have been in a situation like this. I would have been at home with my mum, playing Street Fighter, eating ice cream sandwiches on a Friday night. But now, life is different. Very different. 5 nights a week, I go out. 5 nights a week, I have the opportunity to go home with a beautiful woman. What's changed? The short answer, everything. The slightly lengthier answer, I became a pickup artist. A very, very good one. And now I'm going to make you one too. I don't care what you look like, how much money you make, or how old you are. If you can follow simple directions and are willing to put in a little bit of work, I can promise you a new life. A life filled with beautiful women, incredible relationships, and, of course, lots of sex. How can I make such a promise? Simple. Just like riding a bike, driving a car, or hitting a baseball, meeting women and making them quickly fall for you is a skill. At first, it might seem hard, even impossible. But once you learn the proper technique and put in some practice, you can do it over and over again, effortlessly, naturally, and easily. To date, I've shared this skill set with hundreds of thousands of men around the world, and if I know one thing to be true, it's this. Anyone can become a natural at the art of seduction. All you've got to do is want it. I'll supply the rest. In the chapters that follow, I'll lay out for you, step by step, the methods and techniques that will give you power, choice, and control over your love life. Attributes that until now, you probably didn't realize were possible. But before I do, there's something you need to understand. What you're about to hear is not theory or guesswork. It's not stuff I came up with by sitting around and thinking about what women might or might not like. There's enough of that out there already, and it's crap. Instead, what you're about to discover is all field-tested and battle-proven. It's what I've personally discovered through my years of going out, night after night, day after day, working endlessly to figure out what works and what doesn't. I've done the hard work for you. I've endured the thousands of rejections it took before I finally figured out what worked. And now all you've got to do is listen to this book and then do what I say. The results will follow. I guarantee it. How to listen to this book. In coaching thousands of students over the past 4 years, I've learned how to structure my teachings for maximum impact. Reflecting that experience, this book is organized in a very specific manner, the goal of which is to give you, the reader, the quickest possible route to mastery over the natural art of seduction. Because of this, I urge you, please, do not skip or fast forward through the recording in hopes of finding a magic pickup line. If you do, I guarantee you will not find what you are looking for. Instead, listen to this book cover to cover, taking in each section in the correct order, allowing each piece to build upon the previous. You will begin with From Geek to Natural. This is my personal story of transformation from a 23-year-old who had kissed only one girl to a guy who many now consider one of the world's top seducers. My road to mastery was not easy. I started in a very dark place and had all the chips stacked against me. But I overcame the countless obstacles in my path and pushed forward to get what I knew deep down I really deserved in life. My hope is that in listening to my story, you are inspired, that you begin to realize that anything is possible, that if you aspire to be incredible with women, you really can be. In listening to my story, you will see the challenges I faced and how I dealt with them. This will provide you with a map to navigate the sometimes stormy seas of personal transformation and the path to a newfound confidence and success with women. You will be equipped with a perspective that I simply did not have, and this will allow you to greatly accelerate the pace at which you improve with women. It took me years to get where I am today. For many of my students, it takes just weeks, and in some cases, just days. In the second chapter, titled The Attraction, you will learn what attraction really is, how it works, and most important, how to be a guy who makes women feel it. If you're thinking that it has something to do with having fantastic facial features or a big bank account, I suspect you will be pleasantly surprised. The truth is, there are a few triggers that cause attraction in women. In this section, you will learn them, and the result will be responses from women that far surpass anything you've ever experienced before. Women will attempt to lock eyes with you when you pass them walking down the street. They'll laugh at your jokes, even when you're not funny, and they'll generally make the whole process of seduction very easy for you. In The Seduction, you will learn the exact steps you need to take in order to seduce a woman in a smooth, natural fashion. We'll begin with the overarching structure of a seduction that I have developed, the three characters of seduction model. And then in subsequent chapters, we'll go step by step through the model, giving you all the methods and techniques you will need to make it work. This includes how to approach a woman who you've just laid eyes on, what to say to her to immediately lower her guard, how to build trust, comfort, and a deep connection, how to smoothly take things forward in a sexual way while limiting any chance of rejection that might have existed, and how to handle the days and weeks following your first encounter so that you maintain control of the relationship, whether you want it to be a casual thing or something more serious. We will then turn our attention to specific situations, such as meeting women during the daytime, online dating, and a whole host of situations in which you may find yourself at one point or another. With the information contained in these chapters, you can easily master the skills and become a natural at dealing comfortably and effectively with women. A word of caution. When you have completed this book, you will possess a kind of raw power that at first can be intoxicating. With great power comes great responsibility. I encourage you to use your moral compass when operating from this new place of strength. Use these skills to treat women better, not worse. And when you find that special someone, offer her the love and respect she deserves. Chapter 1. From Geek to Natural. Wherever you are right now with women, I promise you that my situation was worse. I entered this world on July 7th, 1980, in one of the slummiest and most dangerous parts of London, England, where I was born to a struggling young single mother who raised me the best way she knew how. My father, who I hear is an actor somewhere in Italy, dumped us both before I even arrived. I grew up pretty much scared shitless, shy, and geeky, A natural-born loser and outcast from the very start. Deathly insecure, I was a total failure when it came to any and all social interactions, from grade school onto well past college. It's hard to believe now, but up until I was 21, I had never even gone on a single date, much less kissed a girl. Back then, if you'd looked up the word geek in the dictionary, you probably would have found a picture of me. Sad, but true. Growing up poor and paralyzed by fear and insecurity, I was so shy and messed up that I couldn't even answer the phone or place a call to order a pizza. Needless to say, I stayed pretty much to myself. When I wasn't at school being picked on or bullied, I played solitary video games for hours on end at our tiny apartment in the projects, or at my eccentric grandmother's house nearby, while my mother worked as a long-distance operator at the local telephone company. In short, I was a total mess. I was the kid at the neighborhood birthday parties and other gatherings that everyone always asked, "What's wrong?" or "Are you okay?" Meeting new people terrified me, so I avoided it at all costs. I was nervous, shy, and socially inept. As a result, I often annoyed people by saying the wrong things at the wrong times. I was hopeless. Plagued by low self-esteem and with no dad in the house to teach me how to fight back, I was constantly bullied by classmates who called me names like Big Head and Moley, the latter because of the birthmarks that I still have on my face. I have no doubt that I was clinically depressed for much of the time, even well past high school. With few friends, I hung around mostly with my cousin, Alistair, who was 5 years younger than me, but miles ahead in the maturity department. On the rare occasion that I was invited by a classmate or neighbor to attend a party or go do something, I would always find a reason not to. "I'm sick," or "I have too much homework," were my standard excuses. But deep down inside, I was dying to be popular. And the older I got, the more desperate I became. I worried myself to sleep every night, wondering if I would ever in my life have a girlfriend. Here's a classic example of how screwed up I was as a teenager. By some magical fluke, or probably more like a delusion in my own mind, when I was 16, there was a nice girl in my class who I could tell sort of liked me. I spent that whole year fantasizing about her and trying to work up the nerve to say something, anything, to her. But I just couldn't do it. After months of trying, the best I could manage was to leave a handwritten note on her bike, saying that I liked her and that we should go out on a date sometime. Needless to say, that approach didn't work, and she pretty much hid from me for the rest of the semester. After graduating from high school as a total virgin, in fact, a guy who had never even held a girl's hand, much less kissed a girl or gone out on a date, I entered a crummy little college because it was the only one that would accept me. My grades sucked as much as my social skills did. I'd regularly skipped out on classes all through school because I was bullied so much, so I was always behind. Nevertheless, I decided I wanted to study to become a school teacher. First grade, to be precise. At least those kids wouldn't pick on me, I reasoned. Plus the coursework would be easy. Mostly, though, I wanted to go to college to try to socialize and to get a girlfriend. But man, were my attempts pathetic. One night that first year, I ran into a girl who lived in my dorm. She was stumbling down the hallway, obviously more than a little drunk, when she came over to me and said, "Hey, Richard, I'm really horny." My God, she was gorgeous. Even hammered, she was irresistible. So how did I handle this sensational opportunity? Why, in the wimpiest way I could, of course. I said, "Oh dear," patted her on the arm, and made a stupid excuse about needing to go somewhere. and then I ran out of the building as fast as I could. Afterward, I didn't even have much regret. I didn't know how to kiss, after all. Never mind how to take things to a sexual level. The next time I saw her, she had a bemused look on her face. Sometime later, she said that she thought I must have been a virgin. Bingo. Around that same time, I was on the street one day when two super cute female students, around my age, came over to me. One of them said, "Hey, you look a lot like my ex-boyfriend." Just like before, all I could do was smile and say, "Oh, really?" before rushing right past them. Yet again, I let an opportunity to score evaporate into thin air. A few months later, I was on a train when a group of gals started talking to me. One of them, giggling, asked if I'd ever had a threesome. "Wow," I thought to myself, "this is my lucky day." Not, you guessed it. Before I could work up the courage to ask for their names and their phone numbers, they got off at the next stop. The bottom line is that overtly sexual girls scared the hell out of me, because I was clueless about how to handle them. This was never more evident than the night I was out at my local pub, when an attractive young woman came up to me and said, "Would you like to lick my lizard?" I was like, "What?" She then proceeded to show me a small lizard tattoo that she had on her belly. Shockingly, I managed to respond properly, that is, to respond at all, and I gave her lizard a quick lick. She stood there expectantly. As my mind raced through various potential comebacks, I said absolutely nothing, and so she left. That was me, back when I had no cool. When I had no confidence, when I had no game whatsoever, natural, learned, or self-taught. It's not like opportunities weren't presenting themselves, because they certainly were. It was that I had no fucking idea how to recognize or respond to them. I was a man without skills, tools, techniques, or tips on how to succeed with the opposite sex. To make matters worse, I ended up flunking that first year in college. Clearly, I was due for a change. So I dropped out of school, moved back in with my mum, and took a temporary job as a marketing assistant at a local software company. My primary duties were doing odd jobs and gopher work to help my bosses get their big presentations together. Easy stuff. I also tracked the daily stock market performance of the company's main competitors. Although this was a small part of my job, I soon discovered it was the bit I liked the most. During this time, I was pretty much a total recluse when I wasn't working. I never went out at night. All I did was work, eat, play video games in my room, and sleep. I also saved my money and started studying the stock market. Since my mum didn't charge me for room or board, after a few months, I'd saved up $4,000 from working. I asked a friend of my mum's, who dabbled in the stock market herself, to invest it for me since I was underage and couldn't trade for myself. I had a hunch and had her pursue it for me. I got lucky and that stock went up, about tenfold. This gave me the confidence to quit my job and try my hand as a personal investor, a day trader, working from home. I got lucky once and thought I'd be the next Warren Buffett. While that didn't happen, I did manage to stay afloat and not lose money. Some years I was up, others I was down, but I generally did quite well, given my poor track record in life. While a small bit of success was a divergence from my past, one thing definitely did not change. I was still scared shitless of socializing. When I look back now, I realized that the reason I spent so much time at my computer trading stocks was so that I could hide from the reality that I was very poor socially. With every click of the mouse and with every financial transaction, I got to feel important instead of incompetent and ashamed of myself.
I can't remember ever, during my years as a trader, leaving my house at night to meet women. I'd tried that before, in college, and it didn't work. I was terrified to fail again. One night, when I was 21 years old, I went to sleep with tears running down my cheeks. I'd spent all this time chasing money as a trader, and for the first time I realized that I was just doing everything I could to avoid the pain of being a pariah yet again. What I really wanted was a girlfriend. I wanted to be loved. I wanted to experience what it seemed like everyone else took for granted. And as I finally went to sleep that night, I told myself I'd give up everything I had to find that one special girl. A few nights later, I uncharacteristically agreed to go out to a nightclub with one of the few male friends that I had. This, in itself, was a huge accomplishment for me. Soon enough, he clicked with a hot-looking chick who happened to have a rather nice-looking friend with her. Because she and I were left to fend for ourselves, we had no choice but to talk to each other while our friends were off having a great time on the dance floor. I was nervous and couldn't hold good eye contact, but I guess she liked my nice guy, mild manner. Meanwhile, my friend and the other girl were getting along so well that he wanted to take her back to his place. He offered to drop us off at our homes on the way, so we went to my girl's street first. Everyone said goodbye, and she got out of the car. As she walked the first few steps toward her front door, I sat in the back, paralyzed, gripping the seat beneath me for all it was worth. That's when it happened. I had one of those life-changing moments when you force yourself to take action. Asking my friend to wait, I lurched out of the car and ran after her. I called her name. She turned and I said, "Can I have your number?" She shouted it out with a smile. This was the first time I'd ever gotten a girl's number in my life. The next day, I didn't call because I was too nervous. I called her the day after that, though. She didn't answer, but I managed to stutter out a brief message. Heartbroken, I was certain that she had much better things to do than to speak to a loser like me. Amazingly, she called me back a couple of hours later after she got home from work. We arranged to meet for drinks a couple of days later. Things went pretty well, actually. It was my first date ever. We took it slow. I was psyched. On our second date, I cooked dinner for her. Another first. At my place. Afterward, she sat next to me on the couch, put her head on my shoulder, and I stroked her hair. On the third date, we finally had our, and my, first kiss, with her making the first move, of course. My bliss was short-lived, because as soon as the kiss was over, she promptly informed me that she had a boyfriend. Lucky for me, she also said that the relationship wasn't really working. But then she dropped another bombshell, saying that she was planning to start college soon at a school that was more than 4 hours away. "Hey, no problem," I assured her, even though we hadn't even made it to second base yet. "I'll book a hotel room and visit you every weekend." We spent the next 2.5 years together. The relationship went about as well as you might imagine. I was both very needy and very inexperienced. During that whole time, I had this nagging feeling that I was stuck in the relationship because it was the only one I could get. And even though I was thankful for the chance to be with a girl, somehow it seemed like I was missing out on something. Eventually, we began arguing and things deteriorated until we broke up. Back to square one for me. Only now I was 23 years old, suddenly single, and still living at home with my mother. Out of sheer desperation, and not knowing what to do with my life, I began working on myself, just trying to improve, to do whatever it took to not be so bad at life. I wanted to be so much more than I had been to that point.
I started by writing down all my problems, all the ways in which I wanted to be better, and then I made up a plan for addressing each one. For my shyness, for example, I decided to do a TEFL, teaching English as a foreign language, course in Seville, Spain. It forced me, as I hoped it would when I first read the prospectus, to be the center of attention and stand up in front of a class of people for an hour at a time. In my first class, I was so nervous that my voice was shaking. By the last one, I was pretty good. Much of getting over shyness and even fear in approaching women relies on desensitization. That course really helped me a lot. I also started reading 2 self-improvement books a week. I studied neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, which is a branch of psychology that uses different techniques, such as the artful use of language and visualization, to influence not only one's own subconscious mind, but the subconscious minds of others. I also studied mainstream psychology, hypnosis, Buddhism, and other self-development approaches. I didn't anticipate the effect this would have, but it made me calmer and more composed, generally happier and more contented. Buddhism and hypnosis made my focus of attention internal. My fashion also needed fixing, and I spent a period of about 2 years trying to figure out what worked best for me in terms of my style. I went from wearing baggy jeans, Nike tops, and dirty running shoes to well-fitting, stylish designer clothes that I bought at discount outlets. At first, I made mistakes and bought terrible items. The fake Versace polo shirt with a huge logo, the Zegna suit that was 2 sizes too big. But over time, I refined my style and learned a lot about labels, design, fit, and fabrics, and where to shop for the best bargains. I still wasn't dating, but I was getting ready. And soon enough, fate would accidentally step into the picture. I was sitting at a Starbucks with my cousin and confidant, Alistair, listening to music on my iPod when I noticed a bunch of dorky-looking guys my age sitting nearby. They were listening intently to what another guy at their table was telling them. They looked like they were taking a class. Intrigued, I pulled out my earbuds and leaned over to try to eavesdrop. From what I could hear, it sounded like they were taking notes about how to pick up chicks. "Hey, you! Over there!" The guy who was doing the talking suddenly shouted out in my direction. "You better not be taping me!" Alistair and I quickly explained that my iPod wasn't a tape recorder, and with that his face softened, and he invited us over to his table. That's when I first learned about the world of the pickup artist, or PUA. He explained that he was a PUA coach, and that the guides with him were his students. I was intrigued. He told me to go out and buy a book called The Game, by some American guy named Neil Strauss. He said I should read it, and if I liked what I read, I might want to give him a call and sign up for his class. From looking at the guys who were with him, though, I didn't really buy into the idea that they could have any success with women. They just plain looked too dorky. Even my teenaged cousin and I were a lot hipper and cooler than they were, which isn't saying a lot. Nevertheless, I asked young Alistair to run over to the nearby Borders bookstore to check out the book. An hour later, he called me from the store. "Hey, Rich, I found it. It's great," he said excitedly. "It's by a journalist who infiltrated this underground society of pickup artists." He said it wasn't so great in terms of offering actual tips and techniques, but he liked what he read. I said, "Buy it." I read the entire book that night, cover to cover, in one sitting. I never signed up for a class, but I did spend the next 6 months devouring everything I could get my hands on, via the internet, about the guys who were featured in the book. Guys like Mystery and David D'Angelo.
I diligently studied the subject on my own, learning the techniques, memorizing the lines. Eventually, I decided to start to try it out for myself. After successfully pulling off 10 small approaches, starting brief conversations with a new woman, I felt I was finally beginning to get the hang of it. Shortly after studying the game, I went to Singapore on vacation. I was visiting my ex-girlfriend, whom I still had feelings for but was no longer in love with. She did, however, have a colleague I was attracted to. I was there for a month and bumped into this girl a few times. She had been educated at Oxford, and I loved her Liz Hurley accent. One night, when we were in a bar and she was sitting next to me, I put a small amount of my learning to use. She put her hand on my leg, so I put my hand on her leg. She started rubbing my leg, so I reciprocated. She took my hand, so I leaned in and kissed her. I would have been happy with just a kiss, this being only the second girl I'd kissed in my entire life. However, she escalated things further. "Let's go," she said, leading me outside to a cab and back to my hotel. Truth be told, she did all the work. In the hotel room, she took her clothes off, lay back, and made my job as easy as it could possibly be. I was finally getting somewhere. My confidence was already boosted from all the pickup artist theory now stored in my head. I felt I had a secret weapon I could deploy with devastating results. And why not? It had a 100% success rate so far. Other guys didn't know this stuff. They were idiots. I was going to clean up. Okay, so she was the one who said, "Let's go," who got us in the cab and took us back to a hotel, and she was a friend of a friend, rather than a cold approach. But hey, I'd gotten the result, and now I was determined to get even better at dealing with women. A few months later, I moved out of my mother's place and into an apartment in a cool part of London that I shared with a couple of other young roommates. I picked the location specifically for meeting women, going out, and being sociable. I didn't know anyone, not even my roommates, so I knew I'd be forced to get out there and meet people. Being new to the neighborhood, I had no immediate social circle to connect with or to hang out with, so I eventually linked up with some local pickup artists via online forums, and I started to tag along with them when they went out on the town. When we first went out, I gave them the same kind of respect I'd given to the master pickup artist described in the game. I thought that anyone who had spent years working on something would be very good at it. However, I quickly found out that most of these guys could talk a good talk and walk a cool walk, but they didn't seem to have a clue about how to take things much further than getting a girl's phone number, or a first dance, or a kiss. I'd watch one of those guys approach and see the girls look at each other with a "help me" face, or I'd see them simply smile politely and then shake their heads and say, "What was up with that guy?" after he turned his back. To me, it was kind of sad, and I knew that I wanted more. Luckily, I had some other role models that I could admire, on video and audio at least, but I still began to question the full potential of all the touted strategies. If these guys had taken years of focused effort just to get where they were, which wasn't far in my book, maybe I'd never be able to become what I really wanted to be, which was a genuinely successful seducer who knew how to attract and handle beautiful women. Quite frankly, I wasn't interested in just scoring bragging rights about quick little victories such as getting a good-looking girl's phone number or a quick kiss on the dance floor. I wanted more. I wanted to be the coolest guy in the room, the guy that gets the girl and also has a bunch of cool friends and a social life. Bottom line, I wanted it all. I wanted to be the real deal. Needless to say, I had to reevaluate my motives and my expectations. I realized pretty quickly that my goal should be to game, not like a typical pickup artist, but like a natural. Someone who exudes the qualities a woman would naturally be attracted to. Someone who doesn't need tricks and gimmicks or lies to make women fall for him. Over the next few weeks, I met more of the same kind of guys, pickup artist wannabes, who hadn't yet mastered the game. Most of them I didn't really want to hang out with, but I did meet two, Eugene and Connor, who were cooler than the others, and I tried to go out to as many bars and clubs with them as I could. At this point, unless I'd gone to a particular club or bar more than 30 times, which is a lot, I still felt fairly uncomfortable with the environment. Little by little, however, I was beginning to overcome my fear of talking to women, and a couple of times I even had some nice conversations, thanks to my inherent introvert skill of being a good listener. Eventually, with the help of Connor as my wingman, or social accomplice, I was able to get a few phone numbers in various clubs, but nothing came of them. For example, one girl I was sure I'd meet for a date. After we'd had a great conversation, I took her number and we arranged to meet the next week at a salsa club, texted me to say she'd hurt her ankle at the gym. After that, I tried to meet her a few times, but it never happened. She always had an excuse. My education and practice in attracting women continued. The next big realization happened several weeks later, when I was at a club with Connor. He approached two very attractive Swedish girls and seemed to settle in on one. I waited a short while and then joined them. Connor was totally focused on his girl, but I wasn't having much luck with her friend. After sitting on the arm of her chair for a full hour talking to her, and then finally finding a way to sit down next to her, I felt like I was getting absolutely nowhere. I was getting no touching from her, and didn't know what the hell I should do. My previous one-night stand in Singapore had happened only because the girl had touched my leg first. I'd just matched her moves with a few of my own. Frustrated now, I said to myself, "Fuck it," put my arm around the Swedish girl, and went in for the kiss. Lo and behold, it worked. She was into it. Now, I know I probably could have made that move after 30 seconds, rather than waiting a whole hour, and I probably could have moved on from the kiss to something more. But the point is that taking the initiative shifted something in my mind. I realized that women like men to lead. Asking a woman if she wants to kiss, or waiting ages to do it, is just unattractive. In this case, I didn't have the knowledge I have now, so I could have been rejected when I went for it. But if you don't try, you won't ever find out what you might have missed. I should note here that lunging in suddenly for a kiss is a terrible thing to do. When you listen to the later chapters in this book, you'll learn the way to do it smoothly. The next milestone happened one night when I was at a trendy dance club. The friend I was with identified a hot girl. She was tall, blonde, and thin, with blue eyes. Just my type. I went over and sat down next to her and started chatting away. After some teasing banter to challenge her, I lightly touched her leg and arm, and she reciprocated. I went for the kiss after about 5 minutes. Then I led her around the club. "Let's go get a drink," became "Let's dance," which then became "Let's sit down." We got quite hot and heavy on the sidelines, and then I just got up, took her hand, and said, "Let's go." She walked with me, asking only, "Where?" I said, "Somewhere else," and led her out of the club and over to my place. An hour later, we were in bed and getting it on. She left early in the morning to get back home, and I was buzzing. My God,
I'd finally scored with an attractive girl, a perfect stranger, and within a matter of hours had persuaded her that I was good enough for her to sleep with. I was on my way. In the days, weeks, and months that followed, I worked furiously on my game. Now that I'd gotten a little taste of success, I was a man on a mission. To get as good at the pickup game as humanly possible. Night after night, I went out and put into practice everything that I'd learned. Lots of what I tried didn't work, but every now and again I'd come up with a new twist on an old technique, and when it worked, I'd incorporate it into my skill set. As my game evolved, I became very, very good, a natural, or so it appeared. So good, in fact, that I was upsetting the people I used to go out with. While my wingmen would be prowling the club for their first approach, I'd be making out with a girl in the corner of the club. I moved on to sleeping with strippers. Then came models and actresses. All the while, my confidence and skill grew. While some of my old wingmen were mad that I'd gotten so good, others began to approach me for help. They realized that although I had started gaming long after they did, my progress was much faster. And while everyone talked a good game, I was the only guy in my original circle of friends who was consistently sleeping with women who were hot enough to be on TV and in magazines. For the first few months, I trained guys one-on-one, giving them lessons in the field. In other words, I would take them out with me and basically show them what I was doing. They'd ask questions, and I'd answer and then demonstrate. Wash, rinse, and repeat. Soon my students were getting results just as good as I was getting, and I realized that what I had was a skill set that could be shared and taught. Eager to get the word out to more people about what I had developed, and to help guys who were in the position I'd been in when I began, I started a website, puatraining.com, and offered my first ever seduction boot camp. PUA Training was born. Since then, it's been a wild, wacky ride. I've trained thousands of students personally, released multiple best-selling DVD training sets, been on just about every television station you can imagine, and been spotted and spoken to by students all over the world. Whether I'm in New York, Buenos Aires, or Hong Kong, students recognize me on the streets and come up to me, thanking me for the information I've shared, often telling me about the results they've gotten using my teachings. I have to tell you, nothing is more humbling. The opportunity to change lives is what drives me, and these last few years have been an absolute blessing. My goal in writing this book, the one you are about to listen to, is to impact yet another life, yours. My hope is that you draw inspiration from my own personal journey, and then use what you're about to learn to write your own. Chapter 2. The Attraction. We've all seen it. The overweight guy in his mid-50s with a beautiful 20-something on his arm. The less-than-good-looking guy who never shows up at a party without a few models. The unemployed car mechanic who practically has a waiting line at his bedroom door. The generally accepted beliefs about what makes a man attractive would dictate that these situations couldn't occur. But they do, and they're more common than most people realize. How is this possible? Simple. The generally accepted view of how attraction works is wrong. The truth about attraction. Status matters. Yes, it's true that we guys are attracted to beautiful young women. But women, they want something entirely different. They want a man, but not just any man. They want one who is confident, powerful, socially savvy, and high in status. The reason for this is rooted in evolutionary biology. Over thousands of years, men and women developed preferences for sexual partners based on criteria that allowed for the successful rearing of future generations. While men evolved the desire for women with big breasts, clear skin, and beautiful smiles, signs of fertility and health that would increase the likelihood of successful child rearing, women evolved differently. They developed a preference for men who would be able to protect their offspring and provide for them in an often dangerous and uncertain world. Because of the tribal context in which this development occurred, women evolved to feel attraction for men at the top of the social totem pole. In other words, men of high status. So what exactly is status? Well, in any group of guys, there is a hierarchical formation, and a man's status is where he falls in that ranking. On top is the leader, the alpha male, to borrow a term from scientists who study the animal world. He is the person in the group who is the most important. He is the one who exhibits the most influence upon others. He is the one who calls the shots. Being the leader is not an easy job. He has to make tough decisions, not only for himself, but for the group as a whole. And he must shoulder the responsibility of whatever happens as a result of his decisions and actions. The rewards are plentiful, though. He gets first pick of available resources, and this includes women. To trigger a social response in women, we've got to let them know that we are this special type of high-status male. Our job would be incredibly easy if we could just say, "Hey, I'm the leader," or, "Hey, I'm the alpha male." But, as I'm sure you know, this simply doesn't work. In the absence of that sort of explicit statement, women wanting to determine what kind of man you are, instead watch your behavior, looking for subtle clues that indicate where you stand in this world. Thus, to become attractive, you must examine the behavior of highly attractive males and then demonstrate it yourself. Men who do this become very attractive to women. It's important here for me to address something head-on. What I'm talking about right now is not pretending to be someone you aren't in order to trick women. Instead, this is about using an understanding of human behavior, psychology, and biology to consciously change the ways in which you act to become a more powerful, confident, and attractive version of who you already are. Modeling Alpha. How does the alpha male behave? How does he think? What makes him so different from the beta males? These were the questions I began asking myself as I embarked on my own transformation from lowly geek to master Lothario. For months, I pored over scientific literature, watched movies with powerful male leads, and observed social interactions across a variety of settings, all with a pen and paper in hand, furiously taking notes. Ultimately, I arrived at a set of 5 characteristics present in nearly all high-status males, and conspicuously absent in most low-status males. These traits are 1. A strong sense of self-belief. 2. A strong physical presence. 3. The ability and willingness to lead and make decisions. 4. A cool, calm, and collected demeanor in high-pressure situations. 5. Social intelligence, the ability to connect and communicate with others. After determining that these were the alpha traits I'd been looking for, I spent the following days, weeks, and months developing methods and techniques for changing the way I thought, felt, and behaved, so that I could embody these traits myself and finally become the cool, attractive guy I'd always wanted to be. I'm happy to report that I was very successful in doing this. In fact,
As you've just heard in previous sections, my transformation was nothing short of incredible. What I'd like to do now is explain to you in a bit more depth what each of the five alpha traits is, how they all work, and most important, the path you can take to acquire them for yourself. Let's begin with alpha trait number one, a strong sense of self-belief. An attractive man is one who has a very strong sense of self, a man who likes himself, trusts himself, and is confident in his own ability to act effectively in the world. At the root of his psychology is a strong set of beliefs about himself, about how other people should treat him, and about what he is entitled to. These beliefs empower him to behave in an attractive manner and get what he wants in life. This includes women. Why are a man's beliefs so essential to his success with women? The answer is that our beliefs shape our behaviors, and our behaviors dictate how others perceive us and treat us. If you hold a deep conviction that you are a force of nature, an attractive man whom women can't keep their hands off, you will begin to behave in attractive new ways. Women will pick up on your behavior, determine that you are a man with a strong sense of self, and thus begin to feel attraction for you. If this sounds a little hocus-pocus to you, I promise you it's not. For the first 23 years of my life, I had a very low sense of self. I thought I was ugly. I thought I was an outsider. I thought women wanted nothing to do with me. And because I thought these things, I behaved in a way that communicated to others, "Hey, I'm not very important, so please don't treat me well." When I began working on my beliefs, actively changing them to new and more empowering ones, everything began to change. Women even began telling me I was good-looking, something that had never happened before. So how can you change your beliefs? I recommend an integrated approach. By this, I mean working on your belief system directly, in the two exercises that I'm about to show you, using affirmations and putting yourself in the zone, and also indirectly, by going out into the real world and applying the seduction skills that I will teach you in the latter portion of this book. Neither approaching women nor doing inner game exercises will transform your beliefs on their own. But when you combine the two, the rate at which your whole reality begins to transform will astonish you. Affirming your worth. I recommend a special twist on the well-known tool known as affirmations. Affirmations, as you may know, are positive statements you make about yourself that act on your subconscious mind. Over time, they affect your self-image, confidence, and beliefs. Want to test their effectiveness before committing? Write a list of all the things you like about yourself on one side of a piece of paper. Then, on the other side, write out all of the things that you don't like. Notice how your mood is affected differently when you read each side. By writing and then using positive affirmations, you counteract the generally negative influences that other people, the media, and society have on your self-esteem and belief system. Keep your list of positive affirmations about yourself in a notebook by your bed. Read them as frequently as you can. Something else that I did, and really benefited from, was to record my self-affirmations onto an MP3 player and play them on a low-volume loop for hours. This strategy allows the positive beliefs to sink deep into your subconscious mind, while your conscious mind is distracted by day-to-day things. Here are the rules for making affirmations work. 1. They should be positive statements written in the present tense. I am friendly, not I will be friendly. 2. They should avoid negative words. I'm not an idiot should be I'm clever. I don't get rejected should be All women love me. The subconscious doesn't understand negatives. Imagine if someone told you not to think about a pink elephant. What would happen? You'd think of a pink elephant. So saying, I'm not a loser who gets rejected and everyone hates, is just as bad as saying, I am a loser who gets rejected and everyone hates. 3. They should be based on how you picture your ideal self, the person you'd like to be, you at your best. 4. They should make you feel something when you say them. If you write an affirmation and it doesn't have that effect, change the language around or scrap it altogether. You can write affirmations as individual statements or in paragraph form.